sisters.
Happy Australian Day. Make sure you have your lamb barbecue, okay? Praise God. Aren't we glad to be here in this wonderful land of Australia? The great Southland of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Let's bow in our heads in a word of prayer first. Father, we want to thank you for Australia. Lord, we want to thank you, Lord, for the prophetic word of this land as the great Southland of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we're going to call out this land to its prophetic destiny. That, Lord, you pour out your spirit upon this land at such a time like this. Lord, we pray, Lord, for the Holy Spirit to come, Lord, to every church represented, every born-again believers in the kingdom of God, Lord, to arise, Lord, and to shine for your glory, to touch this nation for you, Lord. And Father, from this nation, the revival fire will flow through the different parts of the world. We thank you, Lord. As we look into your word, we ask, oh God, for your anointing. Lord, we come against any distraction, any things that will hinder, Lord, we pull it down in the name of Jesus. We pray that your word will go forth with such clarity, simplicity, yet with the anointing and deep conviction of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, we bless you. And all of God's people say, amen, amen. Amen. Praise God. The first month of January is going to be over for 2025. I don't know about you, but time flies by very fast as you get older, all right? So, anyway, 20 years ago, in 2005, on the 26th of January, my family arrived in Australia to plant a church. And that's 20 years ago this day. And before that, we were here in the 80s for 4 years as we were doing our theological training here and also planting a church at a country town called Lang Lang towards Phillip Island. So when you drive to Phillip Island, don't blink. You'll miss Lang Lang if you blink, okay? A town of 700 people, and we have a wonderful work there back in the 80s. So God is good. I'm excited to share with you about how we can enjoy God's presence through His people, all right? And there's something powerful about God's tangible, manifested presence. Now, we all know that God is everywhere. You can't hide from Him, all right? God is everywhere, and because He's God, He's omnipresent. But there's something different about the manifested presence of God, whereby God appear in a very powerful way. The manifested presence of God, all right, is when God interacts with people in a way that is clear, visible, unmistakable, very personal, and is different from God's omnipresence, whereby He's everywhere all the time. All right, even though you're not aware of it, He's there. There's something about the tangible presence of God. And this is something that we are interested in. You know, sometimes you may have experienced it. You walk out of the church and you know that God was there. God was there. He shows His love. He shows His peace, His joy. He shows and manifests the power of God in our midst. That we know, that we know, that we know that God is there. And it's incredible. And that's our longing, you know, because Psalms tells us that in the presence of God, there's fullness of joy. There's fullness of joy. At the right hand are pleasure evermore. And people will know that God is there. And I've experienced many times that, in fact, I long for the manifested presence of God because I want God to show up. And when God show up, things happen. He says, where the Lord is the Spirit, in Corinthians tells us. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is liberty. And how people are set free when God come and touch and manifest Himself. Now, Moses understood that. Moses understood the powerful presence of God. You know, and God promised to Moses that my presence will go with you and I'll give you rest. You know, when the presence of the Lord is with you, you have rest. You have rest because He is in control, He's in charge, you know. And Moses knew that. In fact, Moses declared in Exodus, if your presence don't go with us, do not send us up here, up from here. How would anyone know that you are pleased with us and with your people unless you go with us?" Moses knew it's not how powerful, good soldier they are, but it is always the presence of God, that God is with us. In fact, the first word, Emmanuel, God with us. God is with us. At the end, he declared, "I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. I will not leave you nor abandon you." So the presence of God is very important. And Moses knew that. And during the time of the children of Israel, as they began to lay a hold of the promised land that God has promised them, the Bible says that by day a pillar of cloud will lead them along the way. And then by night, a pillar of fire. So it's visible. They could see the pillar of cloud over the tabernacle. It's visible expression of God's presence and power. Today I want to share with you three truths concerning the presence of God through His people. And the number one truth is God's presence is make real true fellowship. There's something about fellowship that God's presence is present with us. In Matthew 18:20, it tells us, "For where two or three gather in my name, not in the name of the Australian Open, in my name, we gather in the name of Jesus, there am I with them." That's a promise that when two or three gather physically in my name, I will be. God is everywhere. All right? He's omnipresent. But here, God made an extra emphasis that I am with them. It's so important. The Bible says in last days that we not forsake in gathering together. I know with online now, since the pandemic, people tend to take the path of least resistance, the most convenient option. There's nothing wrong with watching online a service. Every Sunday I watch a few churches online, God is present there and God still speaks to us. But there's something different when we gather together. In fact, the minimum is two. Two or three. Can you imagine if we have a lot more? So I want to encourage and challenge us. There's something different about coming together and sensing the powerful presence of God being manifested in our midst. Especially when we gather in such unity, in such common focus to God, in worship, in praise, in thanksgiving. The Bible tells us when we gather together, when God's people live together in unity, when we express life together in unity, all right, it's like the precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard and the collar of his robe. In other words, it's this anointing, the oil of anointing flows through. And the Bible even went there's refreshing, the dew of Hermon, resting, were falling on Mount Zion. There's such a refreshing time when God's presence flows, when people gather together in unity, in prayer, in fellowship, in worship, in mutual edification and building up and encouraging each other. Something takes place. God comes. And there's an outpouring of anointing, refreshing. Not only that, the Bible said the Lord bestows or the Lord commanded His blessing, even life evermore. There's such a blessing in that place when God appears, when God comes. That's why we should not forsake. More so, we need to encourage each other, at such a time like this. It's like when you start a fire with pieces of wood and all that, and if you take a piece of wood out and separate it and stand alone, the fire will die off quite easily. But when you put it together, it continues to glow and burn. There was this young lady. Well, she's married already anyway, and she's from North Korea, And during the early days, the family kind of escaped North Korea and went into China. So there's a big group of Korean community in North China, all right? The North Korean. And she kind of born there and grew up there. She speak Korean and Mandarin and all that. And she came to Singapore to work, you know, and all their life they're taught there's no God. But there's something longing, there's more to life than this. And she was working very hard as a foreign worker in Singapore from China of Korean descent. She speaks both Korean and Mandarin and English as well. And she's working very hard. And she went through a very tough time. And she discovered she don't have a lot of friends. So anyway, someone got to know her and encouraged her to come to church, and she had never been to church before, so this is the first time. And she walked in. Now, being someone that do not know God and not, you know, involved and understand the whole echo culture of the Christian world, walked into the auditorium with everybody lifting their hands, worshiping God. She just sensed the whole presence of God coming over her. The love of God just poured out on her. She didn't quite understand. Now, mind you, she don't have any, you know, understanding of Christianity at all. She started to cry. She's something about this place, the love of God. And she was just weeping, and every word spoken that Sunday, it was God speaking to her directly. And at the end of the meeting, she gave her heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's something about powerful. There's something powerful about the presence of God. And I want to encourage each one of us to embrace the opportunity to gather together. In your small groups, church is not meant to hide and buy on Sunday. You live your life, I live my life. You know, we have to do life together, to always encourage each other, to pray for each other, to support each other, and release the powerful presence of God. You know, there's such refreshing time meeting in your small groups, you know, in your fellowship group, in your prayer group, in your discipleship group on Sunday morning. You know, I want to encourage you, you know, 2025, make it a point. I want to be physically present, so that I want to release the presence of God in a tangible way. And you never know who needs it. I still remember calling someone who visited the church, was given the name. I was running, pioneering a cell group in Singapore then. And I called him, and he said he will come, but he never come. You know, I called him a second time. He said he will come, and he didn't come. And I called him the third time. And I called him the fifth time. You know, and he said he will come, and I knew in my heart that he will not come. To my surprise, on the fifth time, he turned up. And he says, I'm a salesman. I'm impressed with the way you pursue and call me nonstop. I know what is it like, I'm a salesman, you know. And he said, thank you for, I thought by the second time you'll give up texting me to come. But you persisted on. And that day at the cell group, the presence of God came upon him. And he said, oh my gosh, you know, I need to come back to church. You know, he kind of drifted away. I need to come back. And God touched him at that meeting in the small group. So again, the presence of God is manifested in our midst when we worship together in unity. So don't skip small group. Get into a small group if you can. It's very powerful. Look, it's not a perfect group, all right? If it's a perfect group, you become imperfect when you join them, all right? So we are all imperfect people on our journey to perfection in Christ, amen? And we need each other. We need the, you know, the gift of sandpaper. You know, they sand you down and smooth you down. We need different ones to help us, to be the catalyst for us to change and be transformed into God's image. Amen. And we need to embrace the opportunity together with believers. We're in small group church service, cashier meeting. Now, in this gathering, God promised His presence. He already promised, I'm going to show up. I'm going to show up. But are you going to show up? You know, if you show up, I'm going to show up, you know, and His presence will be evidence, and we can enjoy His fellowship through each other to encourage each other for such a time like this. We are not meant to be a Lone Ranger Christian, all right? We are meant for each other. We are part of the body of Christ, and every ligament support, every part supply. The second truth about experiencing the presence of God through His people is God's presence is displayed in our love for one another. God is love. And God manifests His love through us. In fact, the Bible tells us, and Jesus gave that command, that a new command I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. And by this, everyone will know. By this, everyone will know. How would they know? They must have seen something. Something must be visible, tangible for them to know that you are my disciples if you love one another. The expressions of God's love to one another will manifest the presence of God in terms of the love of God. How would they know the love of God unless it's expressed out through us? The God that lives in us expressed through us. So that we, as we journey through this life, we give unhindered expression to the love, the peace, the joy, and the power of God. And God wants to do that through you. I mean, James clearly says, when you see someone in need and is hungry, don't say, God bless you, go home, you know. No, you give them something. You got to express it in tangible terms so that God's love could be expressed. See, how would the world know? When we express love for one another, love for the unfortunate, it's so important for us to do that because people see Christ through us. And we are walking epistle read by all men, and people will know who God is. In fact, they discovered that 99% of people not wanting to receive Christ is because of a bad testimony of a believer. You know, a believer that preached God is love, but was a nasty boss, unreasonable boss, and people can't see past that. To know that you have a God in you that is love when you are actually exhibiting something that's opposite to what God is. And it's so important for us to understand that people can experience the presence of God's love through us. You know, sometimes you watch YouTube, that kind of act of kindness that surprise people when people least expect it. And that's it for us. If someone asks you, walk a mile, walk 2 miles, again, this is an expression that's beyond the norm of the love of God. And God's presence among us is seen very powerfully when we exercise love for one another. Especially when you interact with people. I remember there's one student here from this place. It was then Monash University. He's from Hong Kong, and he's one of those students that's very eccentric. A lot of people couldn't handle him. And he would accuse people of things. And he was tough. He was very hard. I invited him to church. It was, you know, he make a lot of comments and criticism and all that. And I still remember one day I got the news that he worked part-time at Springvale and was taking a train back to Clayton late in the night. And there was 4 big-sized guys came and asked him for his wallet and his mobile phone. Now, he got a very old mobile phone, which is not a problem. And that day, he forgot to bring his wallet. So when he said, I don't have wallet, that freaked that 4 people up. They got so angry with him. They bashed him up, and he had 20 stitches on the eye. My wife and I, we went, you know, visited him, bought food for him. I took him to the KC Hospital as well for follow-up treatment and all that. And I still remember he looked at me in the face. He says, with tears running down from his eyes, he said, I've never experienced this kind of love. Who am I? You don't even know me. the love of God just so touches him. He not only got saved in the church, he became an assistant Sunday school teacher to my wife. Only my wife can handle him well. and he was so touched by God. You know, he gave his heart to the Lord, and he helped out with the Sunday school. And I remember when he was in Hong Kong working, we are raising funds to pay off the building fund of Click Church then. And he sent $1,000. You know, because he was so touched by God. And subsequently, he relocated to Singapore to work, you know. And insist that I visited him on one of my trips and cook a big dinner for me. And he says, I'm really trying to get my wife to church, you know. I'm now part of a church, part of a discipleship group. You know, and I'm praying and I'm sending my children to a Christian kindergarten, you know. And so here you are, the love of God touches. There's no boundaries, there's no color, there's no status. Love reaches right through. And I want to encourage all of us, God is love. Let's give full expression to the God in us, the love of God through our life. Amen? Amen. Not just in words, but in action, in deeds. And so no one has seen God, but if we love each other, if we take tangible step and action to love each other, God lives in us and his love is brought to full expression in us. So how can people experience the presence of God, the love of God, when we give it full expression through our lives? And it's so powerful when we do that. So as we interact with fellow believers or non-believers, seek to love them in a way Christ loved them. And I like what Pastor Kenny used to say. In every situation in relationship, we always ask, what is the most loving thing to do? You know, in every reaction that we have, what is the most loving thing to do? And so Christ, same way as Christ loved us, this love reflects God's presence. And it creates an environment where His Spirit can move powerfully. When I was a missionary in Indonesia for 4 years, again I saw the powerful expression of God's love touching people. Even the hardest of the hardest melt, their heart melt by the love of God. Amen? Praise God. Now the third truth is God's presence is experienced through service to one another. I know Jasmine is going to preach a powerful message on that, and I'm not going to steal her sermon today, but I want to highlight just one aspect about God's presence experienced through the service of one another. All right? And that's in terms of our spiritual gift. Our spiritual gift. God gave us spiritual gift in order to serve the body of Christ, to build up the body of Christ, to edify the body of Christ. You see, each one of you should use whatever gift you have received from God. And God gave gifts freely. And that gifts given to us is to be used as good stewards, you know, and to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various form. And we build up one another when we use a spiritual gift to minister, a word of like a gift of encouragement, the gift of giving, the gift of miracles and faith and prayer. And when we use and exercise this gift with one another, we release the presence of God. When God's anointing come upon me and through me to you, then it releases God's grace upon that person. And the presence of God is very powerful when spiritual gift is being manifested. In fact, Scripture also tells us, so you too, since you are eager to possess spiritual gifts, strive to excel for the edification of the church, or strive for the building up of the church, encouragement of the church, strengthening the church, releasing God's presence in a very powerful way. You know, in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 12, it's not listed on the slide, but it talks about all the different gifts. There are variety of gifts, but the same Spirit, you know, and variety of services. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for a common good. And spiritual gift is not to show to people how spiritual you are. No, spiritual gift does not show how spiritual you are. The fruit of the Spirit show how spiritual you are. But spiritual gift is a charismata. Charis is grace. It's a grace gift given to you even though you don't deserve it. So the grace gift given to you is to be used to express the manifestation of God's Holy Spirit working in that place. And somehow people encounter God when we release a spiritual gift. When we release a spiritual gift, I still remember I was asked to preach in a church, and then there was ministry at the end of the meeting, and people would come for prayer and say, Lord, I ask for your anointing, for the spiritual gift to be released to build up the people in my prayer for them. And I remember I was praying for this guy, he was very, he looks depressed. He was standing there for prayer and very stiff and depressed. I said, God, give me a word. Give me a word to encourage him, to bless him, to let the presence of God be so real that he knows. Maybe he's going through a tough time. I don't know. But let the presence of God be so real. And as I was about to pray for him, I said, God, show me something. And I saw in my mind mentally doors, a lot of doors. That's all I got. I have no idea what that is. So you, like all operational spiritual gift, you step up by faith. So I start by talking about what I see. I see many doors. There are many doors in front of you. And before I knew it, the word came out. You're knocking at every door. You're banging on every door. And none of them is open. None of them is open to you. It's all shut. No matter how hard you bang the door, it's shut. When I say that, he started to cry. And I have no clue what it means to him, you know. And then the word of the Lord just came upon me. It just flowed out that God is going to be the one that opened the door for you. It's not going to be by your knocking and banking and all that. God will open the door for you. And where God opened the door, no man can shut. And I said, I see God is going to open the door for you. And there's something there that God has prepared for you. So I left the church. Everything was fine. I have no idea what happened to the guy. But a few months later, I met the pastor. And the pastor said, remember the guy you prayed for? I said, yeah. He said, well, he came up to me and he said, Pastor, did you tell Pastor Ken everything about me? I said, no. Well, he was a high flyer back home in Singapore. When he arrived as a new migrant in Australia, he applied for every job and every door is closed. He was so frustrated, he thought, that's it, I'm going to pack my bag and go back home. But that prophetic word came at the right time. See, the presence of God came upon him that God says, I'm in control. I will open the door for you. And he said, within the following month, he got a job offer. And it is the best job of his life. So there you go. You know, release the anointing. Release the gift. Ask the Lord for whatever gift. I still remember when I first started my ministry, I have an opportunity to be in South Korea for 1.5 months. And I visited the 3 prayer mountains. And in the mountains, there are little kind of a hole, closet that you go in there, you shut the door and you pray. And I said, God, give me all the gifts for the extension of your kingdom. Give me all the gifts so that I can reveal and manifest your presence, the work of the Holy Spirit. Because where your spirit is, there's liberty, there's freedom, there's life. That was my cry. That God, I want to be your hands. I want to be your mouth. I want to be your leg so that I can touch the world and they can experience God in the house, God in the place. So we can experience the presence of God when we release us, when we serve each other through the gifts. In fact, all the gifts are for the building up of the church, except for the gift of tongues, which is really a personal prayer language, unless it's interpreted. And every gift is given, not for you, not to wear badges around you, but to use it to the building up of the church. And a word spoken in season through the gift of the Spirit is very powerful. Very powerful. And God, and many times I've experienced ministry given to me, a word of encouragement that really pushed me through and get me through very tough times. So God is here. Amen. So when we serve others, it's not only a command, but it's an invitation to experience God's active presence. That's why the best way to operate the gifts is in the small groups. And will we make mistakes? Yeah, we will sometimes. That's why two or three are to judge and you know, to know whether if we get it wrong, yeah, we get it wrong. It's fine. We practice. We keep pushing through. And the more you do it, the more the anointing will flow. You know, so as we begin to serve, as you serve, you participate in God's word and discover the joy of His presence in action. So I'm not going to go deep into that because I know Jasmine got a lot more to cover on that, so I don't want to steal her message. But how can we experience and enjoy God's presence through His people? When we come together. You know, alone Christian, living your own life alone, not engaging in the body of Christ, is not healthy. We are always be part of a body. And every ligament support, every part supply, that's how the body grow. And we can enjoy God's presence through His people when we begin to express the love of God. Making that extra effort. That extra effort. Being intentional. Being intentional. And I've seen it in my life many, many times, when we are intentional in expressing the love of God, God show up in a very tangible way. And we can enjoy the presence of God when we begin to serve each other through the gift, through our talent, through whatever we are able, you know, and to express, again, the power and the presence of God at work. So I want to encourage each one of us to do that. I remember I was speaking at a youth camp. No, youth camp, when they gather, it's a powerful platform to experience and encounter God. That's why I personally, okay, for me, I will have youth camp every year. You know, I'm personally, for me. Amen? Praise God. I got agreement here. When two or three agree, there's power in that place, all right? The Bible says when two or three agree, you know, a word is established. And I remember speaking about this camp, and I was told that there's this Korean student. The dad came to Singapore to study at the Bible college there, and then forced the daughter to go for the youth camp. And man, she refused. I mean, she was struggling with assimilation to the local Singapore school then. And then she's not really knowing the youth in the church. Now she's forced to go to the youth camp, and she was very reluctant. Anyway, as we began to be united in worship, the presence of God came in that camp. And I remember laying hand on her and ministering to her through the prophetic and so forth. And she started to weep and cry. And she was wonderfully filled with the Holy Spirit. Wonderfully. And I said, oh, praise God, you know, this Korean girl got a breakthrough. Amen. You know, I was so excited. And then I forgot all about it. Just a few years back, I was back in Singapore and I decided to visit a friend who works in that church and in one of the satellite church up north. So I went there, not knowing that this youth pastor already became a missionary to China and he was back in Singapore for that period of time. So when I was in the church, I saw him, hey, you know, so good to see you again, you know. I mean, I think the last time we met was at a camp, you know. That was how many years back? And say, yeah, I'm back from China on furlough just for a few weeks. And I was supposed to be at the main church. But for some reason this morning, I just felt led to come to this satellite church. And they said, remember the camp? I said, yeah, I'm about to ask you, you know, what happened to all these youth in the camp? Well, I was in China then. I went down to Korea and I met this girl. Remember this Korean girl in the camp? I said, yeah, I should remember. I mean, she didn't want to go to the camp, you know, you could see it on her face, but God touched her. Well, she's happily married to a pastor. And they are heading to do ministry in North Korea. Fantastic. And then, you know something? After the camp, the power of God came upon her was so dramatic. Being born into a Christian family, you know, it's what, a routine to go to church and Sunday school. But see, it was so transformative That week, she went back to school after the camp and she led 5 people to the Lord. So when I heard that story, I said, oh, thank you for telling me. You fill in the gaps. Thank you for telling me. So here you are. When we encounter God, things happen. Things happen. When I was 13 years old, I went to a family camp. You know, and I was down at the altar because I was hungry for God, and the presence of the Lord came upon me. I was filled with the Spirit. I was speaking in tongues. And then I felt impressions. I'm going to call you into the ministry. Then I was 13 years old. I can't really speak English. I was from the village, the kampong, you know, and I'm the least educated among all my Sunday school class. They are all from top school. I was from the neighborhood school, you know, and I was struggling, always below the last 10% of the class. I can't speak properly. I'm not talented. I can't play guitar like my friend. When I play the guitar, people run away or they pay me money to stop, you know. So, but God encountered me in a powerful way. There's something about the tangible presence of God. And I pray that we can enjoy God in such a powerful, tangible way when we come together in His name, when we love one another, when we use a gift to serve one another. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. As your heads are bowed, eyes are closed, I sense that God is stirring a hunger in each one of us. That we don't just do religious things, just going through the motion, but that our personal relationship with God will be so real. So real. In His presence, there's fullness of joy. Lord, I want joy to be back in my life. In His presence, there's pleasure evermore. Lord, I want Your rest. I want Your peace. Lord, I want Your comfort. The comfort of the Holy Spirit that is tangible. That's why it's called a comforter. And I pray to God that it will stir in your hearts in 2025 to intentionally say, yes, I want to be connected with the family of God. More intentionally, that I'll put priorities to it on a Sunday service too. That I will intentionally, physically be present and allow the Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes we don't need to have things happening in the service itself. It could be by the car park when you meet someone. You know, and God give you a word of encouragement. Do that. I believe God wants to use us to express, to showcase His presence. That we give unhindered expression to the manifestation of God's powerful presence of love, joy, peace, present to heal, to comfort. So, Father, I want to thank You for Click Church all these years, that You have been so faithful. Lord, we have seen many lives touched in a powerful and transformative way. And Father, I pray that You continue, Lord, to shower Your holy presence. Just as Moses said, Lord, if Your presence is not with us, our meeting is in vain. So, God, I pray that Your presence is everything, Lord, that You are with us. And Your word says that You promise that I will be with them, Lord. Not just the general presence of God, but the personal presence of God. And so I pray for each and every one of us in 2025 that, Lord, we will hunger after Your presence. That we will not do anything that will quench Your presence in our life. That's why David cried out, do not take away Your Holy Spirit from me. Because he understood the presence of God through His Spirit is the most powerful thing. And so, God, I pray for each one of us that You would do a deeper work in our hearts, a new hunger for Your presence and to release Your presence to those that need it. Thank You, Father. We bless You. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen, amen. I'm going to hand this time to Pastor Randall. And there's some announcement that he needs to make.